Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to your show, Destination Health. I'm your host, Kim Cockerham, a member of your Let's Truck team. And I just thank you today for being here and joining together to say our health is important. Becoming healthy is the best decision you will ever make. It is worth it. I hope you know you are worth it. Whether you're venturing down this road for the first time or you've been at this thing called healthy living for a long time, we welcome you. We're here to support each other, learn from each other, celebrate accomplishments, and sometimes hold each other accountable. A lot of times hold each other accountable. I know I need it. So whatever you need. So let's get moving. We're going to get right into this. Remember, we're taking questions. Lisa is working with me today. So fun. I want you to think about this because I had shared last week that we were going to talk about a documentary called Fed Up. And just it's about sugar. So I'm not sure if anybody got to look at it. It's not, unless they had an audio book on it, really. They have a video out there that you rent kind of and stream it in, or I believe Netflix had it at one time, but it's a really, really good documentary. Even after this, even go look at the trailer, and it might spark you that you might want to rent it and download it. It's really absolutely fabulous. So what I want you to do, I want you to think about sugar in general, too, and what are ways, so press one and share this with us, what are ways that you watch sugar, or, you know, you might even have been doing this recently where you are knocking sugar out of your daily eating, so forth. And if you do, any recommendations as well, what you would say to anybody that's trying to watch sugar, okay? So I want to get your ideas. We'll see what you do, any strategies that you do to keep it out of there. So I want to get right into this because I'll tell you what, this was an eye-opener to me, and it's one of those that you look back and you think, oh, my gosh, why didn't I see this before? But think about it, you guys, and I might be dating myself here, but, you know, think about these past 20 years, the changes in our society and just eating patterns and availability of certain foods, so forth, over the past 20 years. 20 years ago, obesity, people used to be like 1 in 20 people were obese. And again, obese can be a tough word too, because if you go by the BMI scale, you could be 10 pounds overweight, you know, over that BMI level and be obese, and you could be actually fit. So I take that with a grain of salt, but you guys know what we're talking about when they do that. We're talking about just extreme too. Today it's 1 in 5 compared to 1 in 20 years ago. So, and also think of this past 20 years. Think of the industries that have popped up over this past 20 years around weight and health. Magazines, shows on TV, I mean, entertainment. Think of The Biggest Loser. I mean, this is just all stuff. So, you know, all these solutions, when we think of magazines and shows and diet plans, all these solutions we're bombarded with have actually added to the confusion. I mean, wouldn't you agree? I think, you know, so what if these solutions aren't really solutions? They're actually making things worse. And I think a lot of it comes down to just that it can be so confusing. You know, you hear people eating one way, people eating another, and this, that, you're like, I don't even know what to eat anymore. So just to back up, I made notes while I was watching this documentary, and it might be kind of all over the place here, but I hope some of these things really just call out to you. It's fascinating, to tell you the truth. And you'll be nodding your head like, yeah, you're right. So from 1980 to 2000, fitness memberships have doubled. But at the same time, obesity rates have doubled. Isn't that crazy? 2 out of 3 adults are actually overweight, and we're trying so hard. We think we're doing all the right things, you know? So the myth is, and I actually think this is freeing, the myth is people tell us to eat less, exercise more. Just calories in, calories out. That's all it is. So you watch your calories in, you exercise more, and that's it. Or, you know, it's your willpower that's not making it. It's your fault that you're heavy. That is a myth. So how's this happening? We cannot exercise our way out of this obesity crisis. You cannot exercise your way out of bad food that you're putting in your mouth. And that's just a fact. That's just truth. And sometimes, you know, we just have to face that, and we know it. We know when we're doing that. So when you think about it, when is a calorie not a calorie? Okay, I use MyFitnessPal. I love to track calories. And, you know, I could eat, you know, my daily amount of calories in bread, you know, and still be within my calorie limit. But, you know, is that, and then say, oh, you know, that's all I ate and I exercised all this off. But let's take an example, okay? An example they used on the show, and I thought this was a great one on the documentary. They used 160 calories of almonds, which, to tell you the truth, isn't that many almonds, but they're actually very satisfying. It's a great, great raw almonds, not your sugar-coated almonds. So you have a baggie of almonds, 160 calories. Those have fiber in it as well, and so your body just doesn't absorb it as quickly, so your sugar levels don't rise. So then compare that. You can say, well, I only had 160 calories of pop, sugar pop. That in itself is absorbed right away into the liver. Your liver kicks in, and your blood sugar just skyrockets. But what does your body have to do? You know, it has to turn that sugar into fat to store it for later. So your body's reaction to what you're putting in is different. Fat is when a calorie is not a calorie, okay? So just smart choices there. So again, when you think of this too, this past 20 years, think of the marketing we're bombarded with. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but, you know, think of Coke Zero, you think low-fat yogurt. How about all the restaurants now? Applebee's, you know, 500-calorie meals. You know, they try to, they find this opportunity to market to us, and they're brilliant at it, I'll tell you. So think back to the 1980s. We were talking the past 20-plus years. 1980s is when the low-fat thing hit. And that all came about by the government getting involved in a study coming in. So I'm not going to go too far into it with the government. But I think many of us remember that. And again, I'll date myself. I know I did because I shared my weight struggles. I graduated from high school in 1981. So I'm 51. I graduated in 1981. And I thought I remember when this came out, and I thought this was the answer. You know, just eat low fat, and the weight's going to fall off. And, you know, they even have, oh my gosh, they have low fat cookies available. So we can still have our cookies. So what happens to food when you take that fat out? I mean, it tastes terrible. So what did the food industries do? They added sugar. And that, to me, was one of the turning points in this whole epidemic of obesity is this added sugar, and we don't even know that it's happening to us. And by the end of this, I'm going to talk a little bit longer today, you guys, and pull you in. I don't want to keep going, but this is just so fascinating, and I'll have you guys will go away from this and you'll go look at it, and we'll just be amazed. So, anyways, the turning point with that. So between, you know, 1977 and 2000, we doubled our intake of daily sugar. And again, like I said, we don't even really realize it's happening. One of the things they point out, there's 600,000 food items in your grocery store, and 80% of them have added sugar. So we know this too. You know, it doesn't, you know, we don't put on a pound overnight. But so this disease that happens from sugar, it doesn't happen with just one meal. You know, it's 1,000 meals. But that's what we have. We have added sugar in every single meal. And it's going to take you to be conscious, step back and read labels. That's what I'm going to encourage you to do with this. And I think you will absolutely love it. So because it's so empowering, okay? Take, for example, and this is stuff I really didn't step back and teach myself with here. So that's why this is so fascinating. 1 teaspoon of sugar is 4 grams of sugar, okay? And your daily allowance is 6 to 7 teaspoons. So that's 24 to 28 grams per day. But you take a typical American breakfast. How many of us love cereal? I used to love cereal. It was an easy breakfast for me to have for my kids too. And I did like the cereal that turned the milk colors. So now you know. You can't go back there once you know. So cereal, and this is even on the low side, I had 3 tablespoons of sugar in it. The orange juice that we serve a lot of times because it's orange juice, and it has 5.5 teaspoons. Have a typical lunch, which is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Peanut butter has 0.75 teaspoons, jelly, 6 teaspoons of sugar, and that bread, 1.75. You throw a pop in there, and you got 9.75 teaspoons of sugar. Nutella, which actually I used to love that before a race, Nutella, 5.7 grams if you have it as a snack, and think of a nice pasta dinner, even if you use whole wheat pasta, but pasta, 0.25 teaspoons, marinara, 1.75 teaspoons, throw that salad dressing on, 1 teaspoon. And if you love sweet tea, 5.75 teaspoons of sugar. So that rundown is 41 teaspoons of sugar. And that isn't even, you know, throwing, again, when we think of sugar, we think of ice cream or, you know, desserts, so forth like that. So think about it. Our daily allowance is around 24. We've instantly doubled it. Okay, so we'll talk more about what, and I'd love to hear from you guys as far as what would be a better alternative to that kind of eating for the day, okay? So all this is just, it causes the metabolic diseases that we know are so apparent in our society, high blood pressure, diabetes. And so many of you guys, some, you know, deal with this with the DOT exams and that. You know, with the diabetes, it's just, you know, it can get out of control so fast, and then you have to try to reel it in. And so hopefully we can catch this in the forefront. Kids today are being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. You know, for all of us that have families, we need to be aware of this. Kids are being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and it used to just be an adult disease. And, again, we just have to be aware because we can imagine where this is going with our kids and everything. So I want to take some calls, too, but I want to talk a little. I want to keep going a little bit, so hang in here with me, you guys, okay? Processed foods, that is my other thing that, you know, when I think about the sugar and I think about processed foods, it's right in there. It's more powerful than we'll ever know. There's so much sugar in it hidden. That's why I'm going to encourage you to, for the next week, to read labels and come back and share what you found, okay? They did a study, and I think Kevin even shared this on one of the shows, and it's true. Cocaine versus sugar. They did a study with mice, and they did cocaine in water versus sugar, sugar water. And 40 out of 43 mice went straight for the sugar water. It fires up your brain exactly the way cocaine does. So what I want to say about that is just so that you realize that it's an addiction then. You can become addicted to it, and it's a biological fact. So if you're facing having to reduce pop, or you know you want, and I think of pop right away because that's just the number one thing I think of with sugar, and so easy and accessible, and you know, we love it and we deserve it. And if you're facing reducing pop, be patient with yourself, okay? It's not just willpower coming at you, why can't you do this or that, okay? It is an addiction, so work through it. We're here to work with you through it, give you some ideas. Kevin had shared before, too, baby steps with that, just reduce a little bit at a time. We've had, I'm sorry if it was Becky or Melissa, one of them, I think, had shared that they were, I think it was Becky was had dealing with pop and getting away from it and just how much better. So we have a lot of support out here from people that have been through that same thing, okay? So, you know, we're talking about sugar, too, but, and you can say, well, you know, fruit sugar, too, and that is true. The difference is, with the fructose that you get through sugar, you are getting the fiber with it as well. That's what counteracts the spike in your blood sugar, and that's what we're talking about, because that spike in blood sugar is what makes your body throw out that insulin and then change that into fat, and then we're just battling it left and right. But again, we have to just be aware, because this isn't it's not easy anymore. We are absolutely bombarded with all, like, the marketing. I mean, I remember when McDonald's was the only fast food around, and I remember when Wendy's showed up. I think I shared this with you guys because I remember that newspaper print table and the Frosties, but now it's on every corner. The commercials our kids see. You go, gas stations used to just sell gas, and now they're all convenience stores. So it's just in our face. And so you have to just be, get your dukes up. We said that 1-2 punch, put your shield up for this and just say, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. So just real quick, I want to share this last little bit about it because I thought this was fascinating. You know, again, we can go on and on about the government and different things, but it was actually in 2002, the World Health Organization, their division of the United Nations that are responsible for setting global health standards, they had published a report saying that sugar is the major cause of these metabolic diseases and recommended we stay at 10%. Well, the sugar groups hit the roof. And then there's pushback, of course, in Washington. And one of the reps, and I cannot remember from the show, it was during the Bush administration, actually flew to Geneva. This is our government. Flew to Geneva and threatened to withhold $4.6 million of funding. So that sugar report was buried. That recommendation changed from 10% to 25% of sugar. And this is the one thing I want to encourage all you guys to do. And this was so fascinating to me. I still will constantly look at labels just for this thing, even though it's on all of them. On all your food labels, the percentage of recommended amounts of nutrients are on there. So what the recommended percentage of protein, you know, you're fulfilling by this and so forth. Except for sugar. They took it out. You'll see all those on there, but you will see all those percentages, but you won't see sugar, because if they did, it would blow you away at the amount, the percentage of sugar is in that item that you're eating. So I thought that was the most interesting thing. So that's where you need to read labels. And the other thing I mentioned, you know, processed foods. This is between sugar and processed foods. It is the tobacco of our industry. So, you know, be aware of it. They mess with us with marketing. You know, they'll dial down the fats, dial down the carbs, and this just gives an opportunity to use this as a marketing claim. And so you just have to be aware. So don't grab, you know, you have a regular granola bar of 100 calories. It still has, it has 1.75 tablespoons of sugar. They'll change it to say low-fat granola bar. And I have been guilty of this, you guys. I would do this with my kids because I'm thinking that that's a good, healthy snack. So I'll get the low-fat granola bar. It has 90 calories, but it still has 1.75 teaspoons of sugar. Junk is still junk, even if it is less junky. Okay? So, you know, another example real quick, because this was just so fascinating, is milk, skim milk. I did that. I went from drinking whole milk to skim milk, thinking I'm doing best, and we all did that. So what happens when that happens? We all drink skim milk, you have all this fat. They make the excess from that was cheese. So USDA jumped in because they had to help them, the industry, sell more cheese, even when one of their documents was cheese as one of the items to avoid because of fat. It's just crazy. So, you know, it's true, and I think we all would shake our head if this junk food is acting like the tobacco companies did 30 or 40 years ago. Eventually, we are going to say, I can't believe we let them get away with this. It will happen. It will come full circle, but it's with us taking taking control just for ourselves and making a difference. And so it's just time to get real about food. It starts locally. It's going to show, it's so true. It's as locally as your own fork, what you use to eat with. And, you know, it sounds so negative when you go back through all that stuff, but this is where I want to come around to, is that get empowered with us. We all have a choice. Cook real food, food that looks like it comes from nature and does not have that long list of ingredients. Take back the control for yourself and your family. It has to be about the food, not just the weight. That will follow, okay, you guys? Get the food cleaned up, and I think you'll get really excited about it. You have to go searching sometimes for it more and just be diligent, prep and plan. Don't hijack yourself by bringing it into your truck or bringing it into your home, okay? So thanks for letting me talk about that. I just, again, thought that was so fascinating. I hope you will go out there and watch that show and start reading labels. The show actually has a 10-day challenge, but I'm going to turn this into a 7-day challenge, and I'll bring it up back at the end, too, of the show. But our call to action is for this next 7 days is no sugar. Do not add sugar to anything. Stay away from any processed foods or ingredients that you don't recognize. So read labels and see what that does for you, and come back and share with us what you learned or what you were surprised about, like what sugar what item sugar was in, okay? So read all labels. Turn it around and look at it, see where sugar is on that label, okay? So thanks for letting me chat. I'm going to head off here to Ron in Texas. Hi, Ron. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Kim. I'm doing pretty good. And I can chime in a little bit about what you're talking about. First thing. I want to tackle is the BMI index. It doesn't take into effect a person's muscle density. It really doesn't look at a person's fitness level or their, you know, their body composition at all. It's a very unfair measurement, But I think that they established that so that they could come up with an extremely high level of obese people in the United States so that they could exercise a little more control over what we eat and what we do and justify it by saying, look, everybody's obese. I really don't like that. And I think that if people want to know, they should go to a doctor and they should get the pinch test, or they should get the dunk tank test, or, you know, or the body measurement where they do your neck, your arm, your wrist, your thigh, your chest, and your belly, you know, and then they take those measurements and then they have a better understanding of where your muscle is and everything.
I agree 100%. You know, we all did the, I did the bod pop, and Kevin did it, you know, and it's so true. And I agree with you 100% on the BMI. I wonder what, or if there ever is a generalized better measurement of that, because that's losing its integrity fast, really fast.
A pinch test is a quick and easy test that you can do, and so is the body measurement test. And just about any physician's office, they should know how to do that. The nurse should be able to crank that out in just a few minutes. And if not, most of the fitness places should have some sort of setup like that. The second thing that I wanted to mention is attitude. A lot of people focus on what they take in and what they eat. And, you know, you talked about being addicted to sugar and everything like that. One of the best ways to overcome an addiction is to set yourself up for success by this chemical in your brain. It's called oxytocin. And oxytocin is released into your body and into your brain every time you do something selfless. You know, it's like these selfless acts that for someone, when someone drops something, you pick it up. When someone looks like they need help, you just offer it, you know, out of the blue.
Yeah.
Giving somebody a quarter when they're short a quarter at the register. All these things, any type of selfless act will increase that flow of oxytocin, and this chemical reverses the other addictive chemical, that the dopamine. It reverses the effects of that dopamine, which the dopamine is what is causing your addiction to sugar or cocaine or coffee or whatever the addiction is. It's your brain injecting you with dopamine. That's what causes those urges and those sensations. And the oxytocin, from being selfless, counteracts that and helps you overcome your addictions. Believe it or not, it makes those urges go away.
That's really interesting. Where did you, because to me what I like when I hear you say that is, you know, guests are thinking away from us, which when, especially if you're really focused on, you know, diet and health, sometimes we do become so self-absorbed with it. So what I hear you saying is if we kind of take it away from us and put some focus on others, that actually the reward will be tenfold coming back in numerous ways.
Oh yeah. And it's a very powerful, it's how our brains are set up to encourage us to be social animals. There are four basic chemicals. You have your serotonin, you have your oxytocin, you have your dopamine, and then you have your adrenaline. And each of them have their own purpose to force us to be, well, not force us, but encourage us in our mind to be more social people and be more productive.
Oh, that is so cool. That sounds like a show in itself, doesn't it?
Specifically for the soda drinkers out there, SodaStream is a really awesome machine that you can put in your truck and you can create your own sodas. Okay, and you would think that's a terrible thing because everybody's going to start drinking more soda. But the good thing about it is most people, they don't so much crave the soda part. They get addicted to the bubbles. They get addicted to the carbonation in the soda. So you can make carbonated water. You can get a lemon squeeze bottle and a lime squeeze bottle and make yourself lemon-lime water, you know. You can just use regular carbonated water, and it'll help you, you know, overcome that part of your needs and wants also.
Okay, great. So it's called SodaStream, right? I think I've seen those in the store before. So
it's a it's a carbonating system, and if you and if you have to have the syrup, they have the all natural syrup that's made out of real sugar and not high fructose corn syrup, which is a completely different sugar for your body. Because the regular sugar allows you to notice your fullness.
Oh, okay. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, yeah, because of the, instead of the spike. So, see, and I'm one of those that I like the bubbles. I like the, you know, that, I like that picture of the Coke pop. I'm not a regular pop drinker, but we didn't share this on the show, and I think you'd probably, you're probably aware of this too, you know, any of the artificial sweeteners, the diet pop does just the same for us because our brain releases that, you know, that chemical, like you were saying, that makes it think that it's sugar. So.
Yep. Yep. But that's not, all that stuff is not what I call it about. I'm fermenting vegetables. And
are you? Great.
And I bought two of those snap top lid jars, and my my mixture of everything for the green beans is really turning out great. And what I did was I added the salt, I added a little bit of mustard seed, a little bit more of dried garlic, and a couple of sprigs of dill in with the green beans, and then about a half of a red pepper that I sliced up into slices. And that's turning out really good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, the cucumbers, on the other hand, which I kind of did the same thing, but I think I might have put too many mustard seeds in. Turning out so well. It's really not. It's to the point where I might have to dump them out, and I really don't know what I did wrong.
Okay. I went through, and I'm not sure, Ron, because I haven't ventured there yet. I keep saying I'm going to, and I haven't. I'm going to start with asparagus because Kevin has let me try some asparagus. I love green beans, so I want to do that. So I'm not sure. I might need to hook you up with, you know, Kevin or Matt, who have really got this fermenting down. So has, oh, my gosh. Sarah's been doing some fermenting as well. So
we
need to touch base. And I'll tell you what, you know, we are going to, I know Matt shared it, Matt, we're going to at CMC have a section as well where we can, you know, talk about that we can share. We're going to share some fermented vegetables. We're going to pull up a NutriBullet and that kind of stuff and share some great information. So I'd love to see if you have anything you want to, you know, sample with people as well.
Oh, that would be awesome. And I guess what we could do is some of us could get together and start on Sunday or Monday and then just see how everything progresses through Friday, because everything should come together in about 5 or 6 days.
Okay.
By Thursday or Friday, we could check stuff out and see how things are turning out.
That is a
great
idea.
With 15 or 20 of us there, you know, we could try 15 or 20 variations, you know, and come up with different tastes.
And then do a sampling at the cookout, huh?
Right. The vegetables are getting very boring. Even out here on the road, really don't have much of a way to, you know, constantly buy fresh vegetables. So you rely on canned and frozen vegetables, and they get really boring. So that's why I decided to start doing it, and they are good. The green beans, they're turning out really good, and I don't think they're going to last more than a few days. So I might need to up my production.
You just have to make more. There we go. So that's a great recommendation and observation is that you guys don't have that out there. So, like you said, the fresh and the tasty, oh my gosh, they're so flavorful. So, and plus all the probiotic benefits is huge.
Oh, yeah. Well, with that, we'll let the next guest come on in and share their health with everybody.
Okay. Well, Ron, thanks for coming in and joining and sharing some great tips here. So. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yep. We'll see you there.
Okay. Bye now. We're going to head out to California and talk to Paul. Welcome to the show, Paul.
How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. I was calling initially. That's like the first time I've like really listened to the show. I caught a bit of it once before, and then I thought I'd call it because I had a question about something in regards to juicing.
Yes.
Have you seen the documentary called Fat, Sick, and Almost Dead?
Yes, I love it. And I and to tell you the truth, so I've seen the first one. I haven't seen all the way the second one. And actually the second one, we have the woman doctor that was on the second show is right here in Akron, Ohio, and she's going to come on our show sometime.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question.
So what
was... I understand the whole concept of the juicing and the micronutrients and all of that, and I've been kind of in and out of health and fitness for years, and since I got into trucking, the first 2 years I was great, because when I got into trucking, I was in the best shape of my life when I got on my very first truck, and then over the past 3 years, I've gotten lazy about the exercise and the eating, and I put on 80 pounds.
Okay, yeah.
And back the other direction, and I've cut out breads and pasta and the empty carbs, because I know when I do that, I've done it many times before, if I just eliminate that junk, the weight just comes off, and I've dropped 7 pounds in the last 10 days just by cutting that stuff out.
Yeah.
The hardest thing I find, I can get protein on the truck. That's not a problem. I've got, you know, protein powders from, meal supplement stuff. I can get hard-boiled eggs at the truck stop. I mean, I can get meat. I mean, but vegetables is the biggest challenge. I just can't get around. I spend so much time in the truck, I can't get around to cooking in my truck. I just, there's something about that gets to me. It's like, you know what, I live in my truck most of the time. I'm not going to turn my truck into my kitchen, too. But I'm trying to find, is there a way or an ingredients of juicing that I could juice when I'm at home, fill up, a couple of containers and put them in my fridge in the truck that would last more than 2 or 3 days? Because my understanding is that juicing, if natural juicing, is really, the shelf life is very short.
I'm trying to figure out a way to
have something last for like a week on the truck. And I wondered if you had any information or insight into doing that.
First of all, so great of you looking into that, because, I mean, I myself, I love vegetables, and I have a hard time sometimes getting in as many as I would like. The way I do that, and then we'll talk about two different things, too. You're talking about with juicing. So, juicing, if you juice at home and you take it with you, and again, when I'm thinking juicing, I'm thinking you're going to be juicing vegetables. You're going to be juicing like kale and spinach, right? Any juicing you do too, I recommend throwing in some cucumbers or some citrus. Makes a huge difference if you have a little bit of lemon in there, okay, or a little bit of orange. I'm not talking a fruit juice, because then you're kind of going the other way. And we were talking about sugar. So, yeah, you can juice. You can take it with you. I've done that. I haven't gone past 2 days. If ever I have juiced and I put it in a mason jar and I put it in my fridge, I have never really gone past 2 days with that. You do lose something with that, okay?
Okay.
And I love juicing, but it is a pain in the butt to clean. That's my thing. But, so, daily, I love my NutriBullet. And that is something that might be a great tool for you to look at for your truck. Do you have a refrigerator, or do you use a cooler?
No, I have an actual refrigerator in my truck. It's not a big one, but it's, it's got a little freezer box at the top that's about 4 or 5 inches tall. So, and it's not going to freeze something ice cold hard, but, it'll keep something, semi-frozen. If it's in there, but the fridge itself is, I don't know, it's standard depth of a truck fridge, and it's probably 18 inches tall, I guess, something like that.
Okay, and oh my gosh, Paul, if you have a freezer, this is stuff that you can do, and I think you would love this, and I can even share pictures of, my baggies I do. So we'll catch spinach on sale. I'll do a very simple NutriBullet, and this is specifically for me to get in my vegetables. I will do spinach, some cucumber, and lemon, and that's it. Now, you can play around with that and throw other veggies in there. I stay away from carrots, any of the sugar the sugar, vegetables, and I guess I'm only talking really carrots there, huh? So I will I'll put them in bags, spinach and cucumber and lemon, and I'll do like a cup to 2 cups of spinach. I'm finding I like the smaller dose, otherwise it's just too much. So say a cup and a half, cup to cup and a half of spinach, a third of a cucumber. If it's not organic, they say to peel it or wash it real good. You know, just keep it simple. And then I will quarter up a lemon and put it in a baggie and freeze them. You can smash them, pull that air out of there, and they'll freeze and stack in your freezer. So you can just take it with you. And as long as you have a bottle of water to add to it, because that, the spinach, it just crumbles up. You dump it in your NutriBullet, add the water, and blend it up. I mean, you feel instantly. It's just, I can't say enough about it because I'm even getting excited to talk about it because it's just so good, so easy. NutriBullets actually right now, I just saw that they, oh my gosh, they're even coming down in price. Like Walmart, you can get them for like $80, $90, I think.
Yeah, we have, we have one at home that my wife uses.
Oh my gosh.
And we have a why am I forgetting the name? So you know, the big blender, the really expensive one.
Oh my gosh, Vitamix.
Vitamix. Yeah, we have a Vitamix, but my wife got tired of having to like clean the big blender every time she made a drink or something. So she ended up putting that in the closet, and now she got a NutriBullet. And she uses that to make, like, her protein drinks or whatever.
Great, yeah.
And I thought about getting
true.
One of those and putting it on my truck. I have an inverter. It's plenty got enough power to run a NutriBullet. And I just couldn't figure out a way to have fresh vegetables on the truck in order to be able to use it.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. So you're saying make separate little, like, serving packages in a freezer bag.
Yeah.
Okay, and then are you, say, like, if I use what you're talking about, the cucumber, the spinach, and the lemon, are you leaving the skin on the lemon?
You know what, you can. I have done both. You know, it can taste a little, what do I want to say, pithy or something, you know, you can get a little bit, but you don't have enough in there. You want that citrus. The citrus is what just takes those NutriBullet shakes over the top. They just give it a little flavor. If you just did cucumber and spinach, it'd be okay. But, you know, just a little bit of lemon makes all the difference in the world. Or lime or orange, a little bit of citrus. But it is so, Paul, it is so perfect for the truck because you can make those ahead of time. And your wife would love having those in the freezer. You know, add strawberries to it, some berries when they come into season. You guys would love having these in your freezer at home as well. Because they're just so easy. By freezing them, you don't have to worry about ice. You're just adding water to it. And it won't take up much room in your freezer. I want to hear about this. I want to hear about you doing this.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna look at going and getting a NutriBullet this weekend. Cause I'll be home for part of the weekend. So make single packages and then just stack them in my fridge. So yeah, I could probably stack. Probably eight or nine little packages in there if I stuffed them in there. So that would be give me one a day or two a day for 4 days or 5 days. So
yeah, and you know what? This has just been I love talking about this because I mean I love this so much that I mean I have to travel with one. So you have one at home. You know how good it is. And I bought it, too, because we have a blender. I'm like, oh, no, we got a blender. But, oh, my gosh, you get a NutriBullet, you'll love it. So, yeah, we're going to be doing at the CMC that we do with Let's Truck. We have a couple of us that have our NutriBullets and going to bring it out and just share because I think it is just so ideal for you guys on the road. So ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have another question about the I keep hearing everybody mentioning fermenting vegetables.
Yeah. Mhm.
What is, you know, just like you have to go into a long explanation, but just kind of a basic, say broccoli or green beans or something, something that you could ferment. Because I heard that like when you do it, they last for weeks. Is that correct? Is that true?
Yeah, because you're kind of doing a preserving with the salt. When Kevin first came on, this is a natural probiotic, and it is, what Kevin first talked about when he came on the show, and you can go back and listen to his, and it's really fascinating, is when we take care of our basic gut, you know, our digestive system, which, you know, you guys have such a challenge, too, with just the sitting you have to do all day, so you have to, you know, dial it up a notch to just take care of our basic digestive system. So, what the fermenting does is very simple. They're creating a brine, and I'll have to have Lisa send me the actual, let me see, I'm going to have it right here. I have KR send me the recipe. So it's the simple, they get like quartzite mason jars with a, they have a lid. You can either do a lid and you can burp them, or it has a device on there that can let the gas release. So it's fermenting the vegetables just in the simple salt with the water, considered a brine, and it takes 3 to 4 days. Ron already left. Otherwise, I'd bring him on to share because I have not done it yet, just for sake of backing up and doing it. What our fellow team member Matt, he did it. He sampled them down at Matt's a couple weeks ago. And Lisa's actually going to give him a holler to see if he can come on and share it. He should wear, and Sarah as well, where this is so great to carry in the truck so that you have these vegetables with you. They are tasty. The probiotics that it does for your body is just amazing. And we all know that. I think Ron hit it on the nose that vegetables can be kind of boring. But here's another way you can get vegetables in at the same time. Helping your whole digestive, your whole, you know, intestines and so forth work the way they're supposed to.
Right. So so you put them in these jars, and I'm assuming you put the vegetable in raw.
Yes, absolutely,
The longer it's in the jar, basically the softer it's going to get.
Like
broccoli or something, you know, that's got a real, you know, firm stalk on it, but, you know, after it's been in the jar for 3, 4, 5 days, it's going to soften up and be more of a texture of lightly steamed broccoli or something, just as far as the texture of it.
Yeah, and it's so flavorful. I got to sample when Kevin was here a few weeks ago. He had asparagus, Brussels sprouts, and cauliflower. Ron mentioned green beans. I love fresh green beans, so I'm going to do that. I guess I have backed up to get it going, but it's so simple to get it in place. For everybody, but Lisa, actually, do you mind hanging on here, Paul? We got Matt on the line, and we'll have him share because he really got into it as well, too. Let me see. 1 second.
I think I'm on. I heard a beep.
Oh, yay. I knew Lisa would take care of me there. Hey, Matt.
Hello.
So Matt meet Paul. Paul meet Matt. Paul was called in.
Good.
You guys are so awesome. So Paul originally called me. He was talking about, like, you know, getting more vegetables in on the road. We were talking about the Nutribullet and so forth. And so then he was asking about fermenting. So can you share with him, you know, how you ferment your vegetables, what kind you do, you know, how long it takes, so forth?
Yeah, I was listening there. Yeah, you're correct. It is just raw vegetables. Just cut them up and pack them in the jar and add the brine.
And what's the brine? What do you do?
The regular measurement is 2 tablespoons of some type of sea salt, a raw sea salt, organic, something with some minerals in it yet that hasn't been refined. And the brine with the salt and the water is all that it takes to, I guess I don't even know technically the terminology of what happens, but the pH balance in the jar with the vegetables will release some of the gases that will bring the pH down and preserve it. So there is no chemical additive at all.
So it's just Is it like the water? Is it like filtered water, bottled water?
Yep.
Is it any kind of water?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Distilled, yeah, I think, right?
Yep.
And then do you just basically put the vegetables in a glass mason jar, and then you fill up, or do you mix the salt and the water first, then pour it in, or do you just fill it up with water and then pour the salt in?
No, you want to dissolve the salt in the water before you pour it on the vegetables, so it's been completely dissolved.
Okay, and then just submerge all the vegetables all the way to the top.
Yeah, that is one of the most important parts, is that there's no vegetables sticking out of the brine.
Okay.
If they're out in the open air, then they could mold.
Right. And then once you open the jar, say you've had them sitting there for 3 or 4 days, and you open the jar and you eat some of them, can you just, even though the level of the jar dropped down, can you just seal the jar back up and put it back in the fridge and it'll stay good for more days? Or is there a process to sustain it longer by adding more water and salt to it so that there's not air in the jar?
As long as the food is submerged in the brine.
Okay.
And once the fermenting's done, you can just add water. You don't need a brine again. The only problem with that is certain things, it will kind of water down the taste.
Right.
So I've done both. I've added just plain water and I've mixed up more brine to top it off. But there is a process while it's happening. You do need to either buy a vent for the top that allows the, I can't remember what they call it, what type of gas it is, if it's some type of carbon dioxide or
the CO2.
What it is
mm-hmm.
that burps out.
Yeah.
Or you can, if you have a sealed jar, you just open it up once or twice a day and let it burp. Just
okay,
let the gas
so,
out, they all rise to the top. And.
All right, so where, like these jars you say that have these little vents on them that'll purge, they purge on their own?
The site that I used was called, this is their website, The Perfect Pickler.
Oh, fun.
Perfect Pickler.
And
okay.
I know there's other brands out there. That's just the one that I happen to buy.
Okay.
And you did have a caller earlier that mentioned doing pickles, cucumbers. And what I've read about it and the ones that I've tried, cucumbers and actual pickles are quite a bit more challenging. And I haven't had much luck with them yet either. So it's an experimental thing. So.
Yeah. What's your favorite vegetable, Paul?
Oh, gosh. I'd say Brussels sprouts with butter and bacon.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
I like any of them. I like, asparagus, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, spinach. I mean, any of the green vegetables, I'm pretty happy with any of them. So,
I believe some of the harder vegetables, like Brussels sprouts, might be a little bit more challenging. I'd have to go back and read. I haven't tried them.
You know what, Dave? I was going to say, Paul, if you like Brussels sprouts, that was one of the ones that Kevin had here that I enjoyed. I thought it was good. So if you like Brussels sprouts, that might be a good one to start with.
Okay.
The asparagus
is
glass. What's that, huh?
Say that again?
I was asking, do the jars need to be glass?
Oh, I would think so. I would absolutely stick with glass.
I guess I don't remember reading anywhere that you could use something else, but I would highly recommend it.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
Lisa is yelling at me, yes.
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 Okay.
Keep it glass.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other thing they do recommend after the fermenting is done, you can go to most stores and you can buy the plastic lid screw on a mason jar. Those do not have a seal in them. They don't have any type of gasket.
Right.
So they do not recommend using them even after the fermenting process is done. They recommend some type of lid that's sealed because fermenting still does happen a little bit.
Yeah, they make formations that, like the jars, I've seen them with those flip lids, you know, that have the,
yep.
the little like metal
snap-on ring,
rubber gasket. Yeah. Those would probably be the easiest and most efficient
yep.
for this process?
Yeah. And
okay.
For anybody trying it in the truck, I think that would probably be your best option.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to try that then. I'm going to go buy 4 or 5 jars and probably just mix up a brine and drop about 3 or 4 different vegetables in them, and we'll just
cool.
see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and let us know, especially if we do that soon, let us know and we can share what you did, you know, the next week or two, Paul, okay?
Okay, absolutely.
Great. And you got to let us know about that Nutribullet.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to do that this weekend, that's for sure. In fact, I'm going to do it all this weekend, so.
Great.
All right. Well, then I will try it out here for the next couple of weeks, and I'll let you know how it goes. I appreciate all your help.
Great. Thank you so much, Paul. We appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Bye, you guys. Okay, so I wanted to touch base, you guys, and just share here. We were talking about sugar. So this is the call to action, and I encourage you to consider this. At the very, very least, read your labels. Look to see how much sugar comes up from peanut butter, you know, something you don't think necessarily. Even if you go look at natural peanut butter, there's sugar in it. Your spaghetti sauces, your ketchup, that kind of stuff. Just be aware and try to cut back a little bit. But if you're up for this challenge, the 7-day challenge, to really cut out sugar, here's some different ideas for this, okay? We talk about this, and I'm reading from a website, actually. Lisa found this for me, 20 Ways to Get Sugar Out of Your Life by Frank Lippman. It's pretty cool. So I'll just share a couple of these. Choose whole foods. The closer it is to the original form, and we've talked about this before too, closer to the natural form of fruits and vegetables, clean meats, you have no problems. As soon as you start venturing into the processed food area or you go to fast food where you're letting somebody else share with you that give you, you know, food and you have no idea, that's when you don't know what's in it, okay? So, the title is 20 Ways to Get Sugar Out of Your Life. I'll post this on the Destination Health page, okay? Eat regularly. This is a big thing. I fully believe in this. Every 2 to 3 hours, and this could be tough on the road or it can't be. It is all about planning and preparing. Jose was on last week that just had tremendous success with a program he did for 12 weeks, and he had to eat, I think it was 6 or 7 times a day, and that can be sounds overwhelming, but it, you guys, it's not. Just step back and you just look at the next day and you plan it and you prep it. And everybody that we, when we did the survey on, you know, the how they eat healthy on the road or what their challenges on the road can be, the ones that were the most successful, all of them were saying how they planned and prepped. And you're just setting yourself up for success, you guys. So do that. Choose whole foods. Do a detox. And this could be the 7 weeks here can help you get this detox out. And know that if you are so heavy on the sugar side, if you are a pop drinker, take it slow. Take it easy. Okay, because you want this to be long-term. Have breakfast whenever that is in your day, depending on when you drive. Start out when you get up, start out with a breakfast that has some protein and some good fats in it, okay? So incorporate protein and fat in every meal. Add some spices to spice it up a little bit. Take a vitamin, move your body, get enough sleep. All this we're talking about, you know, just the whole person here. So this 7-day challenge, if you choose to accept it for this this week, is no sugar, no added sugar, okay? So don't add it to anything. If you're a pop drinker, back off a little bit on it, okay? And no processed foods. But at the same time, if you're in the grocery store, flip that around and look at that label and just start educating yourself on it a little bit. Plan your snacks. when I say that I eat so many times a day, sometimes your meals itself will be smaller, but if you're a three-meal-a-day person, plan to have a snack in between and what that snack's going to be and prep it ahead of time, okay? So that is the challenge, and I would love to hear from you guys, because you guys know this week goes so incredibly fast. And it'll be Friday before we know it, and I would love to hear how your week went by taking a look at sugar, by saying you're not going to let this in anymore, and see how you feel, okay? So next week, I am so humbled that these gentlemen are going to be on our show. We have Bill Baker and Steve Smith. I know Bill's going to be on for sure. I'm not sure if Steve's going to be on. But I am so blown away by these guys. I constantly tout the Truck and Runners Facebook page. If you are not on it, if you want to look to even get moving a little more, you do not have to be a runner. You can be a walker. You can have your spouses. It's not just exclusively for truckers. It is for people in the trucking industry. So we're all here to support each other. And the things these men and women do are just amazing. They just inspire me to want to do more, too. And they are the absolute epitome of, I don't want to say no excuses in the hard way, but they find a way to get it done, okay? Stephen Smith and Bill Baker are part of a truck driving team that's going to be doing, I think I mentioned this last week, the Ball State 500K Relay. It's a 314-mile run, a relay. Now, it's nonstop. It starts on April 23rd in Missouri and ends 27th at 8 p.m. in Georgia. It covers five states. These are drivers, you guys. These are drivers who, you know, drive all day, stop, they find a trail, and they run a lot. And so they have band together to make a team, and they're going to represent all truck drivers out there at this relay. And again, that's on the 23rd. So they're going to join us next week just to share a little bit about them, their history. They've been driving for, both of them have been driving for a very long time, and are just so encouraging to everybody out there. And I think that's what I hope you find on this podcast, on this show, on this group, that we're just all here to support each other. So join us next week to hear them. Please come with any questions that you might have to find, you know, like, how do they do it? Where do they go? How do they get started? You know, what you would recommend if you have any desire to maybe start walking or running as well. Okay. So with that, I just want to thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope you know how much you matter to us and your health matters to us. Until next week, keep learning, keep connecting with like-minded people, pay it forward, okay? Keep moving, be committed to you, be a leader out there on the roads and at home in this health journey. So be healthy, be fit, do the hard work, and master this journey to health. And until next week, you guys, be safe out there. Have a great weekend, and I look forward to talking with you soon. Bye for now.